The Voice America Business Channel is brought to you by Intercall, the worldwide conferencing leader. Check out easy and reliable conferencing solutions at www.intercall.com/radio.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
CIO Talk Radio is brought to you by Citrix, offering GoToAssist, remote support made easy, and by HP Workplace Services. Are you an instant-on enterprise?
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is workplace IT consumerization versus control. And our guests for today's show are Sam Courson, who's the Vice President and CIO with Freescale Semiconductor. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Very good. Thank you. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. And now the business, the life, the work, everything going fine with you?
Everything is booming, unlike the last couple of years where we were struggling a bit. But things have turned up dramatically, and we're just trying to figure out how to process all of our orders, which is a good thing.
That's great. So we also have Steve Romeo, the Vice President of Information Technology with Bragg, Inc. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Sanjok. How are you doing?
Very good, very good. So how is life at your end?
Oh, life is wonderful in San Diego, as always.
Oh, beautiful. So the topic that we picked up today, consumerization and in workplace IT. So I'm sure you guys are getting a number of sleepless nights in that area. And also there is a dilemma that exists that if we do the consumerization and also the personalization, and on the other side we have this control and or the increasing IT budget issue, how do you handle it? So, for example, the thing which I wanted to start with here is that it is one thing to introduce these high-tech solutions into your workplace, but then you've got these users, the end users, who are going to bring their own support issues. They will have their own whims and fancies about what they want. So what if you just gave them the self-service solution? Do you think is that a short but sweet solution to all their problems? How do you think the organization is supposed to respond to such requests? Sam, we'll start with you.
Sure. Well, to start with, I'd like to just sort of generally comment that I've adopted the philosophy that I really have to embrace this trend instead of fight it. Because it does, I do think there's a lot of opportunity for end users to be more productive and to work in their own way. The way we look at it is there's sort of two environments. One is the environment the company pays for, which is role-based in our case. So, for example, a salesperson that's on the go all the time, we would buy them a company cell phone or a mobile device, I'd say, and pay for the monthly data rates. And, you know, they do a lot of email on the go and whatnot. And then we have another class, and so there's various roles that are entitled to various services. Those we standardize. We try to provide multiple selections for people to sort of tailor their personal preferences in terms of devices, but it's not an endless selection. And then we have a high level of support for those things. We have people knowledgeable about those items that are in our standard, and they get very good support. But I also embrace other end users that may not be entitled to a company device to, you know, bring their own. And we try to accommodate that and to hook them up into our capabilities inside the company. But more and more of these individuals are becoming adept at doing their own support, as you mentioned, self-service. Younger people are growing up. They all had personal devices when they were younger. And so they really do their own self-service. And, we interconnect to those devices. as long as they have to adhere to some security standards that I promote. But other than that, it's sort of, do whatever you like, and I'll try to hook you up. And so that's the way we try to accommodate that environment.
So, Steve, what's happening in your world?
Well, first, I think I was fairly resistant to opening the doors to all these devices that are hitting the market today. And here I am sitting here probably a year and a half after that initial thought, talking on my iMac, reading my email on my iPhone with my iPad open. So I would say that I've embraced the potpourri of technology out there. And I think what really motivated me was a group of my users who are typically early adopters in the organization approaching me with the new devices that they went out and bought themselves, demonstrating to me their value and looking for guidance. So, you know, my answer shifted from that of being no, that doesn't fit within the scope of the corporate IT infrastructure, to embracing this technology, again, similar to what you just heard, adopting the standards and controls that we would look for to support them.
How far do you think you can take this consumerization and personalization so that it is really meeting your needs and also the endless demands and the needs of these users who truly can be productive because of this personalization can be actually met? Where would you want to draw the line, or would you say that as long as the technology and perhaps a service that is made available to take care of all this?
First off, I'm pushing the boundaries from the internal perspective with our users inside. But let's take it even further than that. Our customers of Bregg actually use Apple technology, and they demand that technology be integrated into our own internal system offerings. So I think taking it beyond our internal users out to our customers in the field, empowering our sales force with these tools, and ultimately the services that we sell in the field to support our products are offered on the same types of devices. And frankly, to be competitive in this market today, you can't say no. You have to find a way, because customer preference is key to retaining market share and growing these software solutions. And with that in mind, I can take the myriad of technology, of handhelds, of iPads, of all these tools out there, integrate them into our offerings, and then create a strategic advantage in the marketplace by catering to these customers and what they use, this technology.
Now, coming to the question that we had about the common operating environment, we used to really take pride in it as IT department. And we used to have situations where people will say, I want to go out and get my own device, or even want to have my own specific profile. But then you were not able to provide it. And now that is becoming the de facto standard that we all want to abide by. What is it that you are thinking is happening where you can you straightly live and justify that common operating environment approach or one size fit all?
Yeah, that's a great question. I used to absolutely support that thought process that one common operating environment will reduce cost, it will make us more efficient. And in some sense, especially around ERP and some of the more internal facing tools, I still hold on to that thought or that dream. But the reality is that as in IT, every 3-6 months, everything changes, the rules change. I tell you, more and more, I'm embracing the idea of an open system where I'm not necessarily in control of the devices that we're using or stipulating which devices should be used. I'm simply offering the guidelines at how they can be used within the ecosystem. So I'm providing the security and the infrastructure and allowing the users to really push the envelope, but again, remaining in control, because as a CIO, I have obviously a responsibility to protect our data and our infrastructure, and I have to have guidelines imposed. But at the same time, I'm very, very open to allowing the flexibility of our users to have the devices they want to use.
Now, if you really look at the overall complexity that would get introduced, or perhaps more budgets that you might have to allocate just to become that flexible, do you think it is really worth it for us to say we will go and provide consumerization and perhaps do the personalization, but it's going to cost you X number of dollars more. Is that really worth it?
Yeah, I'm at odds with that one, Sanjog. I think in some cases it is a viable option, and it is cost effective. And in others, if I just allowed every device under the rainbow, you know, onto our corporate systems, it gets expensive. It starts to add up. There has to be a business reason for it. So I still look for some sense of justification. And when we say consumerization, I look at it not only from a hardware model, but also from the software as well. I think about it from the various SaaS offerings in the field that users find and want to use, the hardware platforms, and have to consistently evaluate them. And you have to be able to say no to the things that just don't make business sense for the organization.
Hey, guys, I'm back. Sorry for the problems.
No issues whatsoever. And I would like to ask this brief question again with respect to the common operating environment that we used to all enjoy earlier, where we had a complete control, or we actually wanted to have the control. Now, when you're opening that up, do you think we, first of all, can handle risk associated with, and secondly, are we willing to take on the additional budget, outflow, or I would say the dollars flowing out, just because you are trying to handle this flexible approach to one size not fitting all instead?
Well, we haven't found that the way we approach it is driving a higher cost, and in fact, the company wouldn't be amenable to higher costs with no business case. And what I mean by that is, as I mentioned before, we have specific entitlements for company paid services, but we support users with whatever they'd like to attach in. But they're typically, in those cases, they're doing self-service support. And it's just like at home, you know, you keep your PC running or whatever, you have devices, personal devices. And so what the trend I see is, in an example of this trend is virtual PCs. The trend I see is the capabilities I need to provide from the company, like processing capabilities, storage of your company information, whatnot, is migrating into the network. So a virtual PC is an example of that. And you can now access that from any device you choose, and we can assure appropriate security. In fact, when your storage is inside our network, I have better security in that model than I do when it's on your device that you might lose or somebody might oversee on an airplane or whatever. So I think there's a way to approach this that you can, you know, not incur incremental cost for things that don't add value to the business, but at the same time accommodate people's personalization interests.
All right, let's take a quick break. Listeners, will be right back after these messages and look at the places where companies may have tried to outsource some of this workplace management and support environment. And at the same time, they would like to have the outsourcer to do and or manage things which we want them to do or manage. Now, what is the flexibility and control would you like to have as business users, or what CIO would like to see given to the business users with respect to workplace capability? And what is the directive they would like to have for those outsourcers? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
There are a variety of tools on the market that allow you to remotely work on a client, colleague, or friend's computer. But what solution do you choose? The answer is simple. Go to Assist. Brought to you by Citrix. It's reliable, fast, and secure. And with the exceptional performance, it is no wonder why IT professionals choose GoToAssist. Troubleshoot in seconds. Try GoToAssist free for 30 days. Visit GoToAssist.com/CIO. That's GoToAssist.com/CIO. Unleash your support potential with GoToAssist. Brought to you by Citrix. It's remote support made easy.
We live in an instant-on world, mobile, connected, and fluid. Immediate gratification is the order of the day. To compete in this world, you have to be ready to take on changing business and financial conditions. HP Workplace Services helps you meet your organization's diverse technology needs while keeping control of costs. We provide full lifecycle workplace management solutions so you can focus on what's next. The instant-on enterprise is here. Are you ready? Visit HP.com for answers.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So, Sam, let's start with you. Sure. Now, once we have, perhaps, in your case, I'm not sure, but then in most organizations, we may end up trying to see if we could outsource this workplace management and support environment if we can. And then we would like to have something being offered as a set of directives to the outsourcers in terms of what should they do and or manage for us. Now, the flexibility and the control that we need to have. What is that balance that a CIO, would a progressive CIO would like to see? For example, if you wanted to have a PC, how much of PC maintenance do you think they should be doing so that it is always guarded, super secured, versus it provides the profiles that an individual user wants?
Sure, and you're talking about in an outsource context, I think, right?
That's you can do even internally or outsource.
Well, actually, it turns out all of that function in our company is outsourced. Okay. We have a partner that around the world, runs the help desk that people call into, that do the on-site support when that's required, and deploy PCs for us. And so it's totally outsourced in our case. And we have a model where we specify to the outsourcer what are the standards that they need to support. But I will say in that model, and especially for the security issue, so we have approximately 20,000 employees, and the outsourcer handles that for almost all employees. But we pick a certain level in the organization, a management level and above, the more senior managers that would tend to have a lot of sensitive information, let's say on their PCs and whatnot. And I have a small group of actual employees that the outsourcer doesn't support that senior management rank. So it's our own employees that are doing what I call executive support. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a small number, so it's not incrementally all that much more expensive. But that gets us out of the situation where a third party may be listening into a, you know, very sensitive board meeting or looking at a board presentation or anything like that. So that's sort of how we've solved that problem. But in our model, the outsourcer is, we have the flexibility in our contract with them that we can specify whatever the environment is that we want to support it, and they will then support that environment. Of course, the more complex we make that, the more costly it would be for them to do it for us. So we try to, have a balance in how much variability we allow versus the cost of it.
All right. So, Steve, in your world, what do you think would be a good set of directives that you would want to offer perhaps to an organization which is being utilized to outsource the workplace management and or support environments for you?
Well, I think first and foremost, the opportunity to outsource the more commodity type level support is the right decision. And I think there's plenty of opportunities to look at every perspective and see where you can actually gain an advantage, a tactical advantage. I would prefer not to deal with the stuff, the day-to-day stuff that I can send out. And granted, from my perspective, at first I was not open to outsourcing these activities. I didn't see the value in it, but now more than ever I do. And in my IT organization, I have two different perspectives on IT. One is the internal perspective with as the CIO. The other is as a product manager for a software solution that my organization sells, that I actually work with preferred vendors to install software on the handheld devices, to select the handheld devices. I outsource all that activity to them, so we don't have to do that. And that saves us a lot of time and a lot of money. We don't have to stay focused on the little commodity items. We can focus on strategy and executing it.
So, Steve, what reasons would someone have to keep any of the PC maintenance and other things of that nature or desktop environment in-house? Don't you think it makes typical sense that, you know, whatever it is which is predictable and also can be managed better by somebody who is outside is better outsourced?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I'd rather it be outsourced than having a staff that works on that internally.
And do you think by outsourcing it, you can possibly get the flexibility, the personalization, and the true consumerization? That consumerization dream can come true?
Yeah, I think it's close. I think there's always going to be hiccups when you're working with a partner that's not living and breathing the same air you are every hour of every day. But I think it's all about how you manage it. Set expectations, manage it. Then I believe you can get there.
All right. So, Sam, question is, currently we have self-serve provisioning and support, which is becoming more and more available. And it is basically looking like that this IT consumerization approach will be more viable. And users can install whatever they want to manage internally as their own on their own PC or perhaps for a group. What do you think this is fit for purpose profiling approach? What kind of risk, what kind of rewards is it bringing to us?
Well, that is the approach we use. We provide a standard software load to our PCs and mobile devices, but it's fairly narrow. Obviously, we have to provide the operating system and some security components. And then basically users self-service the rest based on their need. We actually also have software that tracks who's using what. And if somebody's not using a particular piece of software or capability, we actually go and pull it. And so we are able to manage the license requirement pretty finely by monitoring what people are using. But it's up to individuals to request things that they need and bring them down and install them, and you know that's all supported by scripts and whatnot. And then we also have self-service instructions. If you have your own device and you want to interconnect, you know, how do you set up the parameters in your device to talk to our email system and that kind of thing. We do make people that are interfacing their personal device into our networks sign a security policy about that, and they have to conform to some policies that we maintain, such as it's password protected and the screen would time out and things like that, so that if they lose a device, a person couldn't access it. But our process is basically oriented around self-service, and it seems to work okay.
Now, there are other organizations who may still be waiting to take that, you know, leap of faith, if you will, towards allowing the individual user to almost become a system administrator. What's your message to them?
My message to them is users today are becoming more and more sophisticated, and they're quite capable of that. Sometimes they need support, but by and large, it works pretty well, and it's a lower cost model. So I would suggest people to at least give it a try.
Now, is there any specific area within this fit-for-purpose profiling which you think creates significant benefits and or risks?
I'm not thinking of a specific thing to separate out and comment on there. I do think that people being allowed to some degree customize how they operate day-to-day and make themselves more productive is a valuable capability for a company to have. And people coming into the workforce now absolutely expect it. It's not just a nice to have. To them, it's a must have.
Now, Steve, in your case, when you are looking at this self-service provisioning and also the support while it's becoming available, how were you able to introduce extra funds, if you will? And how did you justify this fit-for-purpose profiling to your management and say that, okay, I would like to get it and perhaps even outsource it to the right type of provider?
Oh, well, it's certainly just a slow onboard ramp. Year over year, each experience had a return on the investment, which was documented and shared with the financial team, the leadership team, so that, you know, the proof of concept started very small and then built year after year. So it's becoming more commonly accepted that this is the path we're taking.
All right. Sam, a quick question for you. You mentioned that you had a self-help model.
Yeah.
Now, did they have the options to truly, did the users truly have the options to truly go wild with whatever options they wanted to choose? Or there were a forced IT leadership, I would say that a set of options forced by the IT leadership for self-help?
Well, there are a set of capabilities and services that are provided that by the company. And so certain software, certain devices are standard. And those are specified, and so they're not unlimited. But users are able to go outside of that, but at their own expense. And
now,
if you want to bring your own device, we'll hook it up. If you want to buy additional software and put it on your device, people do that. We don't have a lockdown model, as I know some have. So there's a boundary there in which what's provided by the company is limited, but it's not one size fits all. In other words, there's a number of choices, but not an infinite number of choices. And then you can go beyond that, but that's at your expense.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. And when we come back, perhaps Steve and Sam, for both of you, the question will be, suppose you had to move to this new approach where it's self-service, what kind of training for end users do you have to provide? And how successful are you in getting them to adopt the self-help approach versus the voice support that they typically get or they've been getting in the past? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Markets up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now toll free 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
We live in an instant on world, mobile, connected, and fluid. Immediate gratification is the order of the day. To compete in this world, you have to be ready to take on changing business and financial conditions. HP Workplace Services helps you meet your organization's diverse technology needs while keeping control of costs. We provide full lifecycle workplace management solutions so you can focus on what's next. The Instant On Enterprise is here. Are you ready? Visit HP.com for answers.
There are a variety of tools on the market that allow you to remotely work on a client, colleague, or friend's computer. But what solution do you choose? The answer is simple. Go to Assist, brought to you by Citrix. It's reliable, fast, and secure. And with the exceptional performance, it is no wonder why IT professionals choose GoToAssist. Troubleshoot in seconds. Try GoToAssist free for 30 days. Visit GoToAssist.com/CIO. That's GoToAssist.com/CIO. Unleash your support potential with GoToAssist. Brought to you by Citrix. It's remote support made easy.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back. So, Steve, let's start with you. So, while we could bring all these different models, but it comes down to adoption. And with the end user, which is used to an in-person and or a voice support, suddenly they have been asked to go through the self-help. It's a change of mindset, perhaps a lot of training. How do you enable that?
Well, I think the desire needs to be there first and foremost for this type of self-help or self-service. And I think the best way to initiate it is to find a core group, a team of the, within the organization that's willing to give it a shot, and then build momentum based on the success that you achieve from that group, rather than setting the expectation that the whole organization would adopt that out the chute.
So, Sam, in your world, what did you do with respect to the training for end users? And also, perhaps, how did you, with respect to service desk, how did you incorporate the additional knowledge that is required to truly be able to provide that help?
Well, I think we have a similar, you know, that Steve mentioned, and that is you get early adopters. Other people see what they're doing, and it sort of snowballs. But we have both types. We have people that do a lot of self-service, and we post instructions and frequently asked questions, et cetera, et cetera. We have blogs. You can blog with an IT guy, and some of the more, power users do that a lot and share information. But you can also, you know, a less capable end user can call our help desk. Now, our help desk won't help them on our help desk will help them and resolve problems on the company-provided environment. And if you've gone and done, you know, purchased a third-party product and put it on your PC, they won't support that. But that's, you know, typically those are consumer products that that you can call the vendor of that product and get help or go to a website or something. And that model seems to work well. What we've done with our help desk, too, that's improved things a lot is we've consciously driven up that you get your problem resolved while you're on the phone. You don't have this telephone tag. So we track a thing called first call resolution, and we have a hot linking of our help desk calls to an expert in that area if the initial help desk analyst can't fix the problem. And typically we're now resolving, you know, 80 to 90% of all calls to the help desk while the person's on the phone. And that's driven very high satisfaction with the overall process. So some people do the self-service, some people call the help desk, but we seem to be able to resolve a very large majority of the problems with the total system there.
So whether it is training for the end users or even incorporating the additional knowledge to be able to help, is this really way too much, Steve, in your view, to really trying to handle it all internally and then trying to justify the cost of this? Because at the end of the day, it is a bottom line savings thing versus a top line growth initiative.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a bottom line savings. But, you know, this is just one tool like any other that we have to evaluate. And maybe it only works in certain pockets within a large organization, or perhaps it's only good for one facet within the IT organization. I think evaluating its worth and bottom line savings impact, and then the practicality of it is what you really have to do when you evaluate this type of service opportunity.
So now when we bring back the consumerization into picture, it actually has a lot of impact, and it also brings opportunities to messaging and collaboration or workplace management or service desk support, mobility offerings, and even desktop virtualization. How do you see these support models changing to accommodate these areas? What have you done to basically address these? Steve?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, for starters, I'll use the iPad as my example. The first iPads that came into my organization, my internal IT team looked at them like it was a foreign object. They didn't want to touch it. They didn't want to learn it. And ironically, our president showed up about a week later with an iPad ready to have it set up on his account. So, you know, you really, to build momentum to successfully support it internally takes a campaign, if you will, of building support for this type of technology and understanding its value proposition to successfully get everyone on board to be willing to support it.
So, Sam, in your case, what is the typical impact that you see this consumerization bringing?
Yeah, well, one of the things I've done is I put together a very small little Skunk Works team, and our objective is any of these new things that come out that we think are going to be high runners. I mean, I can't do it for everything. We run out and buy it first. So, you know, I went and bought an iPad. I bought this Atrix phone or Google phones, et cetera, et cetera. And we learn it's, you know, how it works, whether it's adequate security, whatever. And so I'm in a position almost before the end users, you know, adopt these things of saying, yeah, this device is okay. We're not going to buy it for you as a company device, but if you want to buy one of these, we've checked it out. We can hook up to it. We can assure security. And, you know, so I'm sort of out in front. And so having this little Skunk Works team is probably the major thing that's helped us get out in front of the consumerization a little bit. And the same goes for certain software, you know, what software might be useful in the company that we've looked at and, you know, blessed or not.
So do you think
that's a major thing?
So a majority of your time, do you think, is going into looking at the support option or perhaps making it as so progressive or so advanced that all the impact that this consumerization and or personalization requests will have on these different areas, you stand there to be a winner at all times? And how much of that energy is being consumed just because you might have at least some of those functions done internally versus outsourced?
Well, again, we almost all of the delivery, like help desk and support and whatnot, is outsourced here. But we really haven't changed our model fundamentally because of the increased diversity of capabilities. I mean, we still have a help desk. We still have on-site support when that's necessary. But it's just there's a larger diversity of hardware and software that people can use. And we have this sort of model of personal versus corporate, and the corporate's limited. And that whole framework seems to work okay for us.
So, Steve, in your world, what would you think you would do to change your support models in coming years to accommodate all of these things? Because this is not going to stop. This is like a moving target.
Absolutely. I think I would say that I don't know the answer to that question, that I would just continue to evaluate the technology that is provided. I would look to our internal teams to, similar to what Sam's saying, and getting ahead of the technology, and just assume that the technology is just going to get easier and easier and more accessible and more powerful from a consumerization perspective than anything we've ever been able to provide in the past from a corporate IT perspective, and embrace it.
And so while you would want to, of course, earn the kudos of being able to successfully allow this consumerization and personalize to end user wherever possible, you would not want to truly take the headache and perhaps outsource it.
No, not necessarily. I still, when I think about the responsibility I have over the data and the business processes within my organization, I still want to be very close to this. And it has the potential to create chaos and big problems from a data security and data accessibility perspective. So I still want to remain close to this facet of the technology.
So that is perhaps because of your business model, would you say?
Yeah, I would say the type of business, the type of information that's processed. And if it were just email that I were processing on remote devices all over the world, that'd be one thing. You know, granted, there's a certain level of security you want to establish there. When you start talking about in the medical industry with patient data, it's a whole different ballgame. So I want to secure those devices differently.
Now, does this even boil down to the PCs? Where a PC, which has to be, you know, you have to create an image or you have to provide a fit for purpose profiles, even that you would want to keep in-house?
No, I mean, I'm, there's a certain level of flexibility there on the internal PCs that I'm not as, I guess, protective of from that outsourcing model for a variety of reasons. In the way that data is delivered, the fact that it is not portable from within the web-based applications that we use. So I have a certain level of flexibility with that technology.
So, Sam, in your case, of course, you look like a model company where you are able to take consumerization and personalization to the nth level. Now, there are companies who may not be fully ready to go on that path yet. How do you still, if you were to advise your fellow CIOs in other companies, how would you allow, what should they do differently in order to handle the demands of their users and not deny the benefits of consumerization and still be able to deliver something versus saying flat out no?
Yeah, I do. So my suggestion would be the model I've discussed where you retain a limited, perhaps add to the diversity of choice that you provide, which is sort of company provided and paid for and supported, but that you allow, and this is sort of the new piece, you allow people to also bring their own devices and interconnect if they want to go beyond the standards you've set. That gives the sort of the balance between you're still managing your cost and the level of diversity, because you can't have infinite and still manage it. But you're allowing this interconnection if people really want to, operate in a way they're most comfortable and it doesn't fit into what you're providing. I know that that isn't, many companies don't allow that, and we didn't originally, but that seems to work okay, and you can, I believe, control with certain security requirements people's personal devices as it relates to their use for in interconnecting to the company capabilities. And that would be the way I'd get started. And then, you do have to add a little cost for that, because you need to have your own assessment of whatever device people are wanting to interconnect. Is at least it allows for minimum security. But that's how I'd suggest to getting started.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back. And Steve, let's hear from you how to get started in a low-cost, low-threat, or low-risk approach so that you at least start satisfying your end users. Please stay tuned.
Markets up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
There are a variety of tools on the market that allow you to remotely work on a client, colleague, or friend's computer. But what solution do you choose? The answer is simple. GoToAssist, brought to you by Citrix. It's reliable, fast, and secure. And with the exceptional performance, it is no wonder why IT professionals choose GoToAssist. Troubleshoot in seconds. Try GoToAssist free for 30 days. Visit GoToAssist.com/CIO. That's GoToAssist.com/CIO. Unleash your support potential with GoToAssist. Brought to you by Citrix. It's remote support made easy.
We live in an instant-on world. Mobile, connected, and fluid. Immediate gratification is the order of the day. To compete in this world, you have to be ready to take on changing business and financial conditions. HP Workplace Services helps you meet your organization's diverse technology needs while keeping control of costs. We provide full lifecycle workplace management solutions so you can focus on what's next. The instant on enterprise is here. Are you ready? Visit HP.com for answers.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
All right, so Steve, take away. Tell us, what do you think some people can do in their respective organizations to get started and at least help some of the consumerization and personalization requests?
Well, I think the best approach to dealing with this is, again, your ramp. You have to start slow. Start with a particular technology, a particular support program, and don't expect, especially as a small organization, that you can jump in and handle everyone with everything, because the array of technology that's out there at the consumer level and the demands will be high. But if you start slow and build a couple of good experiences, the return on investment's there, and the organization will see that there's value in shifting the model.
All right. So when people have some inherent challenges, perhaps when you started in your respective companies, when you started, what were the typical challenges that you faced, which we should expect starting out? Steve?
I guess expectations, just that, hey, I've got this new device or this new software. We were discussing during the break that one of our biggest challenges is the actual software that's brought in by the users, and expectations that they'll be tied into the enterprise systems and that they're going to run their own IT division internally, just based on they can fulfill their own needs. And those types of challenges that come up build, and they create problems for IT departments and the organization with the use of technology. So again, it really boils down to good communication to work around those issues.
Now, Sam, one is that we can do things locally when we are within the company, and perhaps we already are closely interacting. But when it comes to global enterprises, and they are doing things which are not seeing each other face to face, etc., what kind of challenge does that bring, and how do you address something like that?
Sure. Well, our company is global. We operate in all regions of the world, and we're all over the world. And the first approach that helps with that is all of our systems are enterprise systems, so we don't have regional ERP systems or regional anything really. So all systems that we use are standard for the entire world. However, there are differences that exist in terms of devices that access those systems, languages, and things like that. So the major challenge for us is to accommodate those differences, and that just, we have people that within my group, a small number of people in all these locations, and they help us understand the requirements that may be local versus the things that can be standard globally. And so you do have to have that balance. Some things are even specified by law. For example, certain things have to be in French in France, and that kind of thing. But we walk that line, and it seems to work okay. The major differences is the access devices and the languages. Otherwise, we operate on standard systems and processes.
So do you think the people issues are inherent, but they can be solved? Because everybody, if you're going to move to service self-serve type of an approach, each person will need to get their own type of training across the world. That is quite a daunting task.
It is a daunting task, but it probably varies a lot by company. In our case, one of the requirements for employment is, because there's so much interaction that's required in English, that our employees, regardless of the fact that they're all over the world, English is a requirement for employment, and so we can do most of what we need to do in English in terms of self-service, help and frequently asked questions, documentation, and all that kind of thing. But having a global operation, some of these new commercialization capabilities and interactive capabilities are even more valuable in that context, because we do have people that have to cooperate, and they're quite literally on the other side of the world. So we have a very rich culture of using instant messaging, live meetings, video conferencing. And we have those mechanisms established, and they actually are even more valuable when you have such a far-flung organization. And so the technology is really enabling a global company to operate effectively.
All right. Now, Steve, a question for you. Are you considering client virtualization as an option to meet some of your consumerization needs? That is, yeah, go ahead.
No, no, please finish.
Yeah, so basically I'm talking about the home mobile workers, clinics or storefronts or branch offices or anything whatsoever where you could just put in client virtualization and be done with. Why even bother for the rest, you know, rest of the options that are going to introduce more risk and more challenges?
Yeah, the answer to that is absolutely. You know, we're evaluating all models going forward to completely shift our infrastructure, our delivery, and use of the technology. And I think the virtualization offers a great opportunity, the client virtualization, to reduce our costs, but also, you know, to be flexible, to spin up remote offices faster, to spin up technology in the field without the typical delay that hardware acquisition brings along. So we're actively investigating and actively deploying right now.
So, Sam, what's your thought about consumerization and desktop virtualization or client virtualization? Is our two sides, or they are poles apart? But then you could use either approach to solve people's needs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I said earlier, so we're actively piloting virtual PC in various, actually two different pilots, just to make sure for what type of user it will and won't work well, the current state of the technology. But I do see a general trend. I commented on this earlier. I see a trend towards high-power processing, storage, and capabilities like that migrating into the network. And then you can access those from various devices, in fact, multiple devices. So if your PC is actually virtual in the network and your storage is virtual in the network, you can access it from your mobile device, from your home PC, from an airport terminal. There are certain security issues around some of that. But, you know, I know people that are into that model already, and they are very satisfied that it enhances their productivity because they really have separating. They don't have to have this data replicated on multiple devices that they actually use every day, but, you know, it's in one place. They can access it. They can do their work. And no matter the context that they happen to be in at that moment. So I believe that's the direction things are going with the whole cloud phenomena, and I think it's a positive. And we are the only issue for us, believe it or not, we've got our physical PC support cost so low that we had to really work hard to get the virtual PC model down to the same cost points because we did not want to increase our costs to go to a virtual PC model, but we're close to being to that point now, and probably this will take off pretty well within our company.
So one last question, 15 seconds each. What's the ROI of consumerization and or client virtualization? And do you think either of these models will allow you the right return on investment? Steve?
Well, I think the ROI lies in ultimately in creativity. We're trying to provide our users with our services and technology. If they can bring something to the table that makes them more productive, then I think that's the ROI.
Sam, the ROI question.
To me?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't try to calculate an ROI. My management wouldn't believe if I said, you know, each person in the company is going to get 1% more productive. Those kinds of business cases don't really fly. But I think there's we're approaching a lot of these improvements without significantly increasing cost. In fact, in some cases, like going to self-service, there's actually a cost decrease. And so overall, there's a balance there where without raising our cost much, if at all, you know, we're adopting some of these other models. And, you know, should there be a significant investment that we need to make somewhere along the line beyond what we're doing now, then we would have to put a business case together. So far, that hasn't come up too much. We haven't had to increase our cost to go toward this model.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, really like to thank you, Sam and Steve, for sharing your thoughts about how workplace IT consumerization and personalization can really take productivity and the profits for the company to the next level, and perhaps we are ready to yield control. Thank you so much again.
Thank you, Sanjog.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, if you have any questions, please send us to questions@ciotalkradio.com.
Are you looking for new ways to reduce CapEx in your workplace management environment?
Have you been considering ways to incorporate as a service into your environment? How about desktop as a service? Join us as we investigate the pros and cons surrounding it. Join us June 1st to discuss this topic in detail. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog Agarwal, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog Agarwal next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.
CIO Talk Radio is brought to you by Citrix, offering go-to assist, remote support made easy, and by HP Workplace Services. Are you an instant-on enterprise?